now listening to Beardcast.
What's going on, you bearded fucks? We're back after a long week of no podcasting. It's not FNMC. It really is supposed to be, but it's late Saturday night.
It's FNMC slash CR.
It's fucking double McDoubling.
Combining Friday Night Magic and the comic run.
As many things taking place.
So here. Once again, we jump into
a conversation. Well, you know who the fuck I am. If you don't know voice by now,
it's correction, David. We didn't start a conversation. We just explained him what's going on.
But now it's David. It's David here.
And Beatty.
Matt, what's up, guys? How you guys doing? Suck a dick.
Sucking some dick. No, they're
good. Suck a dick.
They're good. They're good.
Week off.
So we had a week off. It wasn't an intentional week off, but it happened anyways. It was our vacation. We were still here, but we just had a lot of things going on.
Indeed.
I beardcasted in my mind. Hopefully you've thought about it.
Yeah, didn't you promise them something and then you didn't come through with it?
What would I promise? I promise
you
not.
Promised you they would hear something from us and it didn't happen.
They're hearing it now.
They're hearing it right now. It's right here right now.
Well, before that.
This is, well, let's...
They're sure they'll understand.
They'll know.
Can I say something?
Sure.
What's up?
7-Eleven iced coffee refill cups. Probably my favorite thing
probably
ever on the earth.
Best investment.
Better than pussy.
And the best when you're having pussy and you drink.
And you drink in your cup. It's pretty good.
And it attaches to your keys. If you have a place to put your keys when you're fucking a pussy, then
fucking stick it on your dick.
Keeps it cold. I got a free one today.
Not intentionally, but
well, intentionally on me.
Legally.
Not legally. But, you know, that's what happens when you only staff one person. But anyway.
So, let's pretend for a moment today's Wednesday.
Okay.
We just bought comics.
Yep.
Beatty, what did you get?
Superior Carnage, which is pretty awesome. Movement 4, which I still haven't read yet.
I didn't read any of the comics I bought, so it's okay.
Nice. Daredevil Dark Knights 3. Let's see if I can remember real quickly.
Come on, you just got them like 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, it's still Wednesday.
It's Wednesday.
Oh, wait, pretending it's Wednesday is the difference.
No. It's Wednesday.
And the holy light shined upon my grail, and I finally found Huntress Power Girl 6.
Yeah, it was funny when you found it, too. I don't know if you heard this yet.
Yeah.
I'm walking in the aisle, and all of a sudden, he's on his knees. So I'm like, all right, what the fuck is he doing? I see him
fucking
dicks. And I hear, oh! In the, loud in the store. And he pulls it out real slow like this. I found it! So,
it was like, months. Months I've been searching for this.
And usually his typical noises when it comes out is like, oh shit. But instead now he fucking came.
I wasn't excited.
Now I can catch it out. Finally. What did you do? What did you get?
I bought this today, this Wednesday. I bought Superior Spider-Man, which I still have not. All my comics, a giant backlog. I bought a giant box to put all my comics, and I think the biggest part about it is the backlog.
Half of it.
I bought the new spin-off of Age of Ultron that had happened with the Avengers AI issue 2.
Hunger?
No, not Hunger. That's Aftermath. This is like what happens after everything is... not the aftermath.
Okay.
It's like the alternate universe that Hank Pym doesn't make Ultron. Okay. And then I bought Hunger issue 2.
Which could avoid a lot of things if you think about it.
Yeah. But then you won't have Vision.
True.
I bought something else. Oh, Kick-Ass 3.
Oh,
issue 2.
I forgot about that, Kick-Ass.
But other than that, I don't think I bought... That was it. I was a little cheapo. Cheaper
money. Cheapskate?
With my comic book money spending.
I read Kick-Ass 3, issue 1. I don't know what happens, because it's been so long ago.
Yeah, I didn't read any of them. So.
They're pretty long with their releases, so I don't know what happens.
They sound like person talking, like it sounded like an astronaut that fought. It sounded like from
the voice of a radio.
It sounded like someone was jumping on the moon.
What are you doing with this?
It's a token.
I'm taking it.
During a podcast?
Yeah. Well, I mean.
We're talking about college.
This is a good segue.
We're talking about college right now.
You want to go into magic?
Oh, it's Friday still?
We're talking about college.
Never
mind. We're on the Wednesday.
We're on Wednesday right now.
What were you telling me yesterday you wanted to say for the podcast?
Oh, that Angel had heard that for Avengers 2 that Tony Stark was making Ultron, and Hank Pym wasn't going to be around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they were going to introduce
Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch.
Yes.
Which would be pretty cool. I can't wait to play them.
Scarlett Johansson?
She's going to be in it.
Regardless.
But she's not going to be
Scarlet Witch.
Maybe she'll be Scarlet.
Scarlet as herself.
Scarlet and Scarlet and Scarlet and Scarlet.
Okay, curious. So after Avengers 2, are they going to go into a Phase 3?
Yeah, they are. That's definitely happening. I think they...
So they're going to have Iron Man 4 and...
Yeah, they're going to keep going. They're going to fucking get as much money as they can.
Yeah, but after a while, I don't think the actors would be tired of doing it and just not want to do it anymore.
Unless you're tired of money. And I'm not tired of money.
Well, then again, Marvel's pretty cheap with their actors, except for like Tony...
Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah,
they just throw the money at. They go, get back on drugs, take all the money!
Get back in the fucking suit, just take the billions of dollars.
And then get back on drugs. We'll hire somebody cheaper.
Just make sure you get the drugs.
Yeah, like, here's all the money, use it on drugs, and then we'll hire somebody really cheap. They're cheap to play Tony Stark now.
Hey, Mark Ruffalo, what are you doing?
You want to be Hulk and I and Tony Stark? Edward Norton, you want to be Tony Stark now?
Put the goatee back on. Oh my god. When are they going to introduce fucking Ant-Man and Wasp? That's what I want to see. I'm supposed to be working on an Ant-Man movie.
I really don't know.
And since Avengers 2 is now Age of Ultron, what's happening with Thanos?
Oh,
is he just going to go to Guardians of the Galaxy and that's all he's going to be in?
We're going to see him eventually. I don't know what's going to come first, what we're going to see him first. I feel like he'll be in the Avengers regardless.
I wanted them to do an Infinity Gauntlet for the Avengers.
I seen on Vine. It's like if you should follow, it's called, I think it's mini trailers.
All right.
They had the new Thor movie trailer.
Oh, yeah.
What was it?
Dark World,
yeah.
Not the one you watched that first time.
Yeah, I don't know what I watched. Some porno dog shit. What a
green paint.
Are we back on this now?
No.
Fucking Hulk.
Looks pretty cool.
But Angel also said that they're in talks of a Deadpool movie.
Yeah.
With Ryan Reynolds.
Of course it's going to be him. It's got to be him.
Yeah, but are they going to do it right? And not that stupid fucking shit they did in Wolverine?
Hopefully they'll give him the whole fucking costume.
Well, how many superheroes is Ryan Reynolds playing?
Green Lantern.
And Deadpool.
Deadpool.
What's that about? It's
DC's Green Lantern and Marvel's Deadpool.
Oh.
I fucking said to them.
That's the only thing that.
I said to them that, to Angel and Munson yesterday, like, oh, Jamie Alexander, the girl who plays Sif, she'd play Wonder Woman. And Angel's like, would Marvel let her go over? I'm like, why not? They fucking let Ryan Reynolds go over.
Yeah.
Who gives a shit?
What was I going to say?
I don't know.
Here's a good connecting point if we were leading into Wednesday going into Friday.
Yeah.
Considering on Friday we usually do movie reviews. But it's still kind of comic-ish. We had watched Oblivion.
Indeed.
Which
was the song for our intro.
Was Oblivion by MA3, featuring Susan, I don't know her fucking last name.
I never heard of Susan, I don't know her fucking last name. Who is she?
She's a great singer. I just don't know her fucking last name. But basically this movie, the director had written Joseph... my information not too well. So, it's one of those things I never remember. So, basically, this podcast is going to be called My Memory's Never Too Good, Ever. The director had written a graphic novel. He started writing a story. He got it together with an artist who had worked on graphic novels before, and they drew... Basically, it was written like a book.
Yes.
Every other page would be a full done page of just pure art to explain what is happening in the text. Not like bubbles, not like person talking to person. It's like a novel.
Yeah.
But with pictures. He never published it. But it's complete. But he pitched it to the studio, and that basically helped him get that movie because it was so detailed, everything. They used exactly the pictures to portray it in the movie. It's with Tom Cruise and Morgan Freeman.
That's all you need to know.
That's all you need to know. It's all you have to hear is Morgan Freeman. And I'm watching it.
Titty sprinkles.
If you haven't watched that video, you should have to watch it. Morgan Freeman, Titty Sprinkles. That's a funny fucking shit. Go to YouTube. It's there. It's fun. I read online that it said it's probably the best comic book movie ever made, considering... Number one, you don't know the comic book in the first place to say, oh my god, it's not like the original.
Yeah.
Number two, it's the exact the whole script is the graphic novel, which is the movie. All everything you see is in the images on the in the pictures. Their towers, the Tet, the bikes, the guns. Everything is exact copy out of the thing.
The napkins, the beds.
The napkins, the beds, the tissues, the lotion. But when pitching this movie to Tom Cruise, he was flipping through the book, and that's what sold him on the. He's like, I'm in, and he had his hand, he had his dick in the production. He was like a silent producer, even though he was the main actor of the whole movie. He loved it. He helped make the aircraft that they fly. It's basically like it's the old fashioned. They took it from the old fashioned bubble helicopter. It's copied. You ever see those in New York?
Yeah.
And basically, they took like the most modern war like plane. I don't remember. But they combined those two, and he got in, and he's like, oh, I don't like... They had a prototype. He's like, oh, I don't like this, because why would I take my hand off the steering to touch these buttons? I'm a pilot. I fly helicopters. I fly planes. I want it to be so realistic for me, and I want it to be comfortable, and it'll look better. So he designed the inside with them.
Nice.
Which I thought was pretty cool.
Also, it was touchscreen anyway, so...
Yeah. But, no, there's all switches, like...
Well, yeah, there's switches, but the main thing is you touch screens.
Yeah.
Everything.
I completely... I'm so fucking lost. What was I going to say?
Morgan Freeman,
Tea Sprinkles. Yeah, everything he did, I watched the full Blu-ray. I watched all the backlog, like, the backlog. I watched all the special features, all that, yeah. Everything that was done... There was a lot of cool tricks that they did. Like, in the tower, they had the choice to use CGI for the outside. Because basically, it's in the sky. So you use... everything's surrounded. The sky's surrounding it. You have to have a day. You have a night.
Yeah.
So what they did, they filmed this movie in Iceland. And they had a camera run from sunrise to sunset. And instead of using green screen, they used a projector around the whole entire set of the tower. And so basically it would project what they shot in Iceland. So the reflection of the sky would be in the actors' eyes off the surfaces of everything that was in it. So it was so realistic and it just made it so easy, they had said, for the actors to just think that they were in the sky because it's everything surrounding them. Another thing about this movie is it's bright. The director had said that he didn't like the fact that all sci-fi had gone dark. Everything just seems really dark and grimy, and he just wanted to bring sci-fi back to the light.
Yeah.
The fact that all the... It's set in an apocalyptic New York. All the machinery is clean. I think it was a pretty good movie, but Beatty had seen it with me. It was my second time, his first time. What was your Beatty thumbs?
I give it about 4 Beatty thumbs.
4 Beatty thumbs out of 5. I give it about 5.
As far as you never explained what the fuck the plot was.
No, I mean, you don't really need to know the plot, but you need to know the plot, I guess.
I have read it. Actually, before I had seen it, I had read it the plot on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Because I had been out of theaters right by that time, and I was like, fuck it, might as well. And I didn't like the way it was written with the plot. I was like, they're, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I can't really give away spoilers. So I was like, you know, towards the end, I was like, alright, whatever. But then once seeing it, I was like, yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, well, the thing was, like, upon watching this movie with you, I'm like, oh fuck, he knows everything. I'm like, there's certain parts where I was like, oh shit, that you won't see, oh shit, but then you're like, oh, these guys are these guys, but why are they facing this guy? And it wasn't what actually happened in the movie, and I'm like, yes, he doesn't know. I was like,
yeah, because I remember what the fuck the plot was. Like, as soon as I read them, if I'm not interested, I'll instantly forget. I'll instantly forget parts, but I'll know some of it.
The plot is, basically, Tom Cruise is a tech that fixed these drones that basically surround this apocalyptic Earth.
Which aliens had destroyed.
Aliens had destroyed the moon, which basically set the Earth off balance. Tsunamis had come and wiped away cities. The scavs of what these aliens are called had invaded. Humans had won the war, but the planet was useless. It's destroyed. But he's there with his... She's basically like his commander, not really, but his more of a partner.
Yeah.
Watches him and tells him where he needs to go to fix these drones out on the on Earth. But he has these constant flashbacks of a woman that he sees in a past New York, where everything was...
Which, I want to say, his visions take place 60 years before the events of the world.
60 years
before the events of the movie. It takes place 60... his flashbacks take place 60 years before that.
So he's haunted by these memories throughout the entire first quarter of the movie, I'd say. Maybe even halfway through the movie. Eventually, like, he meets this woman because these pods had come onto the planet and realizes that, okay, this is the fucking girl from the flashbacks. Like, this is her. I'm the flesh.
Right.
Not to go too deep into the movie to give away the ending... some truths have found out about the whole concept of the movie that you are introduced to very early on, and then you're like, okay, this is a turning point. People aren't who they seem to be. He's not who he seems to be. I think it was a great movie.
It was good, yeah.
I liked it.
Now you know what we gotta see now? Olympus Has Fallen.
Olympus.
The next review.
That would be the next review.
Oh, I've seen that. I can review it, but we have to see it together.
Yeah, I can see it.
Sounds cool. The Oblivion's movie.
It was
well, it's very long though.
Yeah, it's a 2 hour, two and a half
almost.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's not really 2.5, it's definitely seemed like it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. For me, 4.5 out of 5 beady thumbs.
You sure not being biased?
Yeah. I'm not being biased. I enjoyed
sure
it.
About that.
Morgan Freeman's in it.
Morgan Freeman's in it.
I give it 7 beady thumbs.
Whoa.
Wow.
Seven.
And
titty sprinkles on top.
And
some titty sprinkles
on top.
All right. The last 10 minutes, might as well segue into magic.
Magic.
This is Friday.
This is
we're
on Friday.
We're on Friday now.
We've gone into
we
Friday.
We came from Wednesday straight to Friday. All in 15 minutes. We space-timed our way here.
So, there's a lot of purchasing from cards in the past 2 days.
Jeez, what the fuck happened to your
hair? Yeah, my hair's all fucked up too.
This is like Johnny Bravo. You know Johnny Bravo from the Boston Network?
Yeah, I remember Johnny Bravo.
Hey, mama.
A lot of cards.
Put my mouth around my cock, mama.
A lot of cards were purchased.
Did anybody buy anything? I don't remember.
Yeah, I bought cards from my Simic deck.
Matt's Simic deck is on its game. It's
when it wants to be. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think it's pretty balanced. If you win 50% of the time, what?
Yeah.
Jason on Magic Father had said, "Oh, you know, you're doing something right if you win 50% of the time when you're playing."
Yeah. Yeah, it's not, I mean, I can see, actually, I can't see where, like, what to, like, take out, to, like, I don't know, I mean, like, the only thing was the, what's the name of that card? The land? Flood,
what?
Something?
What?
The land card. I forget what it is, the one that I need for my deck.
The Shocklands.
But I was going to tell you, there's also the older lands that... We'll probably tap for both. I'm pretty sure they have them.
You mean the one if you control forests or planes?
They come in untapped.
The only thing I don't like about the Shocklands is that I kill myself. Like,
yeah,
I
so you can have the Shocklands, which are more newer. They actually had them a while ago, but they're reintroduced in the set for the guilds, which you'll take the 2 life. But then there's the old lands. Like in my Celestia deck, I have some Petal Growth, where it comes in untapped. If you control a forest or a plane, so you don't pay no life. But then there's cards that there's another land card that has that comes in on tap if you control 2 or fewer lands. So if
yeah,
it's in
those
your,
are the mirrored ones.
Yeah, if it's in your open hand, it comes in on tap.
There's actually one over there somewhere.
So it's like a Guildgate, but if you have it in your open hand, you have the option to play it on tap for no cost.
Yeah, all right, yeah, I didn't know that. Sounds
and they're a little bit cheaper because they're older.
They're older.
What was I gonna say? And he also bought a couple of other cards, didn't you?
Fable of the Wolf and Owl.
He bought one day, immediately take it out the next day.
Was, yeah, move.
I still think that's a cool card.
Yeah,
it
I
is,
like
but
it
doesn't play with his evolve effect.
Yeah. I might just put it in my green deck for the green part of it.
You can make tokens.
I was just going to buy it with him.
You going to buy it with him?
I was going to offer to buy it. I could get it with him.
Hey.
Where were you an hour ago?
I was inside playing Minecraft and doing homework.
Alright, we'll talk about that later.
Anyway.
That's off topic.
Other Evolve cards I got.
What other cards did you get? I just...
Cut it off.
Yeah, I kind of cut you off. My mind immediately shot to the top.
And I bought a big box for my cards. Now I'm done.
No, you don't.
Now you can go.
I have my Celestine deck, green and white.
Sick.
What?
Sick.
Sick?
Sick.
I love that deck. But I threw together a green deck, unintentionally leading to the rebirth of getting the band back together for the elves.
You know that shit was intentional.
That was not intentional.
It was.
You have all the key cards that the other deck has.
No, I don't.
I'm sorry, from the ones that actually make that the granddaddy elves.
Yeah, like there's no well wishes.
Yeah, well.
There's no Jorga.
But that other green deck didn't even need those cards to be as beast as the deck you just made.
I shrugged my shoulders. You can't see it, but yeah. I shrugged my shoulders. But I think this green deck is it's definitely elves. But there's a new spin on it. Scavenging Ooze, if you don't know, is probably the best card out of M14 that's come out for green aspect, besides
Doomblade.
Not Doomblade. Who the fucking cares about Doomblade?
I play Scavenging Ooze, Doomblade.
Beatty, that's been happened. That's why you went four.
That's why I went four Doomblades.
Well, you're not going to just use it on my Scavenging Ooze.
Yeah, you are.
Beatty, shut your mouth. So, Scavenging Ooze.
Oh, you can use it on fucking Voice of Resurgence either, so.
You can use a Doomblade and Voice of Resurgence if you like.
Like I
would do. I'll make an elemental creature that'll probably be a 10-10.
Yeah, like I would do. What's the point?
And you could use it on your turn. Please. I'll find my two tokens. If you don't know Voice of Resurgence, this is a 2-drop for Dragon's Maze. Matt's getting a piano riff. That's a crazy card. It's a $45 card. It's a 2-drop. It's green and white. Basically, when an opponent plays a spell on your turn, you will make a token, an elemental token, that its power and toughness are equal to the number of creatures you control. Or when it's destroyed, the same effect. So basically, if he would cast a Doomblade, which is a 2-cost black card that destroys target non-black creature.
Non-black creature.
That's a spell on my turn. That's a token. He gets killed. Second token. So let's just say if those two cards are only out, they both be a 2-2. If I play another card, both be a 3-3, so on and so forth.
So, if you learn anything from us, it's don't try and kill Voice Resurgence with spells.
Yeah.
Blow up the field.
Yeah, that's probably the better move. But Scavenging Ooze is a 2-drop, 1 colorless, 1 green forest mana. You can tap 1 green. It's a 2-2. You can exile a card from a graveyard, but if it is a creature, Scavenging Ooze gets a +1/+1 counter, and you gain 1 life. So
yes.
Basically, if you were able to generate crazy amount of mana, like this deck is able to generate, and there's enough creatures in the grave, you can get as many counters as there is creatures in the grave, as much mana you could pay, and then you gain that much 1 life. Pretty sick. The other new stuff is the new elf that you could tap for 1 mana. It's
Elvish Mystic.
Elvish Mystic.
There you go.
This is like the deck that I wanted to do things with that I couldn't do Dora Destinies and never got because they were always sold out. Reprinted in M14, able to get that. Lurking Prayer is another crazy card, 6-drop enchantment. Every time your opponent plays a spell, you look at the top card of your deck. If it's a creature, you can play it for free.
Yep. I was going to say, speaking of elves, I managed to pick up 3 Deathrite Shamans for my black green elves.
Those are crazy.
What?
Those are crazy.
They're fucking great. If you don't know what it is, $13 a card. Fucking well worth it. It's a 1-drop hybrid black or green for a 1/2. And its ability is tap it, remove a land card from a graveyard, any graveyard you want, and add 1 mana of any color to your mana pool. Second effect is tap black and tap it, remove an instant sorcery card from a graveyard, each opponent loses 2 life. Third effect is tap green, tap it, remove a creature card from a graveyard, and you gain 2 life. Fucking amazing card.
From the mouth of one of our people we deal with at King's Games,
our
local card. No, this is the glasses, the guy who likes to shit on Jose. I never remember his name.
Yeah, we don't either. I don't either.
He recommended me a card for this deck that I had not known prior to making the original elves, which I intend to get fully. It's an artifact. It's a 4-cost artifact. You tap it. I don't remember its name, but I know the effect off the top of my head. You discard your hand, but then you draw as many cards as you have creatures out in the field.
Oh, sorry.
So you don't need to have a hand to discard.
Yeah.
You can just refill your hand, and the next thing you know, you're back again. Whoa. You're ripping ozones.
Yeah.
You're ripping the ozone with these putts. And then I could just refill my hand again.
Yeah.
To fill up the field.
Also, my Battle Mages are now no more. The $10 Battle Mage deck, which barely worked single player and barely worked in multiplayer, is now no more. Now I got the black-white vampires kicking dick as usual.
Kicking the dicks.
I think
the vampires for you are like my elves.
Yeah.
I have to fall back on the elves.
I have fucking black-red vampires, I have mono-red vampires, and I got black-white vampires. I just have so many, and I just fucking make them to decks. Kicking dick, like usual.
Like I said, I had no intention of recreating the elves.
He did.
I did. No, but basically what the whole point of that deck was because I bought the new Garruk that had come out in M14, which is
Beastmaster,
another crazy card. It's a Planeswalker. It's a 6 cost, comes out with 4 loyalty counters on it. It's +1 as you look at the top 5 cards. Reveal the top 5 cards. You take all the creatures in it, put it in your hand, and the rest you put at the bottom in any order. It's -3 as you take a green card from your hand and put it on the battlefield. It's -7 as you get an emblem.
An album.
The vinyl that we're going to play. And for every creature you put out, green creature you put out, you could search your library, your deck, whatever you want to call it, and then take another creature and put it out.
Yep.
Cheap as shit.
It really is.
Cheap as shit.
It really, really is.
And cheap as shit. But the reason I made the deck is so I could put him in it because he was originally in the Celestia, but he wasn't running the way I like. Scavenging Ooze as well went into that deck, and the next thing I know, it turned into
an elf party.
The elf part 2.
And right after this, we're gonna have an interesting battle: elves v elves.
It's actually a very interesting battle because it's the old elves. The formula tweaked a little bit to Beatty's
play style,
and the new age.
You know, I'm putting that now because you have it in yours. Dora Destinies.
Dora Destinies.
Was that lady?
Oh, no, I have one that's black red, not friggin'.
Oh,
not that's why I said it.
What, Shockwind?
I was going to show it to you as an example. That's why.
The thing about the Shockwinds is if you buy them single, they're fucking pricey as shit.
Yeah. I have a black green Shockwind that Jose gave me for free. I was like, yep, thank you.
Yeah, fucking take it.
Not going to say a fucking word about it.
Yeah, like Temple Garden is the card that I would need for Celestia. You pay 2 life and then you could tap for a green or a white.
White, sure.
It's a fucking $12 card. If you get a play set, you're already looking at $48 right there, and no one's paying $48.
Well,
I mean, actually, you would pay $48 because you could buy a fucking.
He's raising his hand, no one can see it.
You could buy a guy's cradle at King's Games, our local card shop, yet again. $165, you tap it, and you get green mana for each creature out on the battlefield.
Listen, I spent fucking $36 on 3 Deathrite Shamans, so.
Yeah, but let's look at it this way. You spent $50 on 1 Voice Resurgence, so you're still making out more cards than you would get.
This is true. It was fucking ridiculous. I was like, I'll just get them. I need them anyway.
I feel like I should start proxying cards more than I buy cards and wait for the actual money to come in to buy the cards.
Yeah, right.
Because I feel like I drop a lot of money on Magic.
Way too much money on Magic.
Like, we went yesterday. I spent money.
What, today?
Today, no intention to spend money. Spent money. Always happens.
What did I buy today? I bought Mirror Gallery, which is amazing. Legend rule does not apply. So, I can have as many Progenitus, so legendary creatures on my side.
You know what's good that for? If I can use it for Rise of the Redeemed.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't know what that is a one drop. It's either green or white to play it. You can either create a token for 4 or 6 and tap it. You make a copy of every token you have on the battlefield. So, for people who run token decks and use like Parallel Lives or Doubling Season that makes copies for each token, you would tap, use its 6 cost effect to tap it, make a copy for each token out on the battlefield, and then put double of that because of Parallel Lives or Doubling Season.
Yeah, I had gotten Nurgauri, Merciless Eviction, which is it's a black-white card. It's a multicolor card. It's a hefty fucking cost, though. It's a 6 drop.
Yeah.
But you have 4 different effects to choose from. You can either A, exile all the artifacts, B, exile all creatures, C, exile all enchantments, or D, exile all planeswalkers.
Damn.
It's fucking a big cost, but it's a big advantage. If someone plays like fucking like if someone has like two or three planeswalkers out, oh, exile all your planeswalkers. Have fun.
Yeah.
Go nuts. Or if you have nothing on your field and you, their field is stacked, and like, oh, you have like one or two creatures you don't really care about, just exile them. And then finally, Vorniclex, Voice of Hunger.
That sounds like a fucking Russian porn.
The Vorniclex.
Kind of like porn.
Yeah, this is a hint. The Hinterland Harbor.
Yeah.
It's from Innistrad. It's basically for Simic, and it enters the battlefield tapped unless you control a forest or an island.
Yeah. Anyway, Vorniclex, Voice of Hunger, is a 8-drop, also hefty, 7/6, trample. Whenever you tap a land for mana, add one mana of your mana, of your mana to your mana pool that land could tap for. So if you tap for 1/4, you'd get 2 green mana.
Yeah.
For example. And whenever an opponent taps a land for mana, that land doesn't untap. And then the next control step untaps that. So
yeah.
You just lock them down. Like, oh, you want to tap yourself out? Okay, you're not going to have nothing to play next turn.
Yeah. In the elves I had just put together, I run 2 parallel lives.
Okay.
But I would like to make the investment, considering it got reprinted in Modern Masters, and now it went from its
price.
That
got reprinted too?
Doubling Season.
Oh, all right. Let's see.
$20 a card. Which is one more mana cost, but I feel like it's worth the extra mana cost.
What's the difference?
Difference between parallel lives is just doubles the tokens. Doubling season. If an effect would put one or more tokens in play under your control, it puts twice as many of that instead. But if an effect would place one or more counters on a permanent you control, it places twice as many counters instead. So not only is the tokens, it's the counters.
I gotcha.
Which would also work very well
with Door of Destinies.
Door of Destinies and Simic. Because if you evolve, doubling season, it's either you put double the tokens, it does both. Double the tokens or double the counters. So if you put one counter, so let's say you have Experiment 1, best card, I'd say, out of the Dragon Maid's set. It's a 1-cost green, it comes out as a 1/1.
Mm-hmm.
It has evolve, and if you don't know what evolve is, you're not familiar with evolve, if you put out, let's just say, a 2/2 creature, it would evolve, would get one more counter. So then Experiment 1 would become a 2/2. But if you had Doubling Season out, 2/1 more counters. Now he's a 3/3.
Mm-hmm.
Experiment 1's second effect is you can remove 2 counters and regenerate them. So it's great for like the kill cards.
The only problem with that is if he has, like, I'm just using that as an example. Doubling Season's 5 costs.
Yeah.
They already have the small creatures out, probably evolved past that already.
Yeah.
That's a fat point that they can evolve.
It's true.
You know what I mean?
But he also has that equip card where you put a 1/1 counter in every upkeep. So, doubling season.
Forced adaptation.
What's that?
That's
what we're talking about.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
There you go.
I can't remember the name. I know the effect.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Anyway, we're past 30 again.
We're always past 30, Bean.
We're always past 30. Oh, 33. What's going to happen when we actually physically go past 30 in age?
I'm almost there.
He's on the way.
He's always.
I got 2.5 years.
I'm sorry, man. Once you hit 30, I can't hang out with you anymore.
Oh, it's all right. I'm already the oldest one. Fucking comes to his house all the time.
You're fucking old man.
That's true. You old man, the only one.
You guys better fucking do me a birthday party next year.
Holy moly.
Or
at least when I'm 30.
At McDonald's.
Yeah.
Get all McDonald's you want.
They have, and I forgot where it is. Play place only for adults.
No way.
Yeah. I forgot what it was.
Well, you're fucking useless, aren't you?
It's in some other fucking country.
It's in another country.
Yeah,
it's
nowhere around here.
Oh, yeah. What's fucking telling us?
They definitely have sex in one of the chambers of the place.
Well, they do it anyway. Who gives a shit? They probably do it at McDonald's playpen anyway.
Listen, I want a fucking adult play palace for myself.
In my house.
In my basement. I'll be in the ball pit
right,
all day.
Right next to Boris.
I'll be in the menorah pit.
Oh, God.
Not the menorahs that we're talking about. There's no,
Not those kind of... Not the ones they use on the Jewish holiday.
But,
Never mind.
We're at 34. It was meant to be an hour and a half, but...
Hour and a half?
Hour? I don't know. But it's a half hour, but coming back Wednesday, no break. We're not on vacation. We had our vacation, our unexpected vacation. If everything's right, we'll be back on Wednesday for more comic talk.
I won't be here.
You won't be here. I don't know why, because you just said it and I just found out.
Work.
I'm about to work.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Matt's a working man. He's building mines. No, he's not building mines. But he's back at the working.
He's shaping whatever future they
the
have left.
The work palace, making the bread.
He's shaping whatever future they have left.
Yeah, yeah. That I have left.
So he's working on bread. Me and B will be back. Maybe Angel. Maybe Woody. Maybe an invisible ghost that will whisper on our audio track.
Who knows?
B won't sleep for the next fucking 2 weeks if that happens.
Definitely.
I'll be sleeping in the house that he has built outside for the cats.
When does Jose come back next week?
Jose comes back next week.
No, I think the week after. But who knows? Maybe we'll hear from him before then because we haven't heard from him in a while.
Jose maybe will speak fluent Spanish when he comes back. I don't know.
He's actually off the radar because no one's heard from him.
We might have to buy a translator or a casket. And with that, we end. This is David signing out from FNMC Comic Book Run, just the podcast that we needed because we took an unexpected vacation.
Yep.
Are you signing out today?
At some point.
I see.
What happened?
This is Matt with his 7-Eleven chiller iced coffee saying later.
He had a brain freeze. He was like,
I was just staring
at his face. Staring out. And this is Beanie, and with those words, Sala Deadly Specci. Ayana Fatto.
Beanie's one piece away from winning a figure at McDonald's.
If you get it, if you get the 50 number,
send it us.
Print that shit.
If you got 450,
send
us. Please.
Send that shit to us, you dirty mothers.